Blog Talk Radio.
The scriptures clearly teach is that we, as believers, should know history. God tells us in passages like Romans 15:4 and Isaiah 43. He tells us also in 1 Corinthians 10 and Hebrews 11 and Psalm 73 and 78 and so many other places. He says to recall the former days, to remember the former times. Throughout the scriptures, we see that when a people remembers their history, they behave differently than when they forget their history. We see that even recovering histories, in the case of Josiah and the temple, leads to a national revival. Or in the case of Esther and Mordecai, the use of history by the king one night kept Mordecai from being hanged on the gallows and thus preserved the nation. So history is huge. God is into it. But in America, we don't do a good job of knowing our own history, and we need to. The scripture says that his people perish for lack of knowledge. We've been taught in America for years that what we're about is economics. We formed this nation because of taxation without representation. We need to know our history better. Taxation without representation does appear in the Declaration of Independence, but it's only one out of 27 issues that appear there. There's also religious issues. There's moral issues. There's so many other things than what we just hear today on economics. We need to go back and see that we were founded in this nation. Four clauses of the Declaration say that they didn't want activist judges. Two clauses say they wanted to end slavery. We have clauses over preserving the right to have Bible societies and other religious exercises. So as Christians, we need to know our history. We don't need to just go with what we've been taught. We ought to go back and read the documents. It's one thing to be taught what the Bible says. It's another thing to read it. So I challenge you. Follow up on what God says in the Scriptures. Know our history. Recall the former days. Let's go back and look at some of the patriots we had that were such strong Christians that are leaders that we don't even hear about today. So I challenge you. Do some research. Go to websites. Look at things that will tell you about your faith history as a Christian. It's important you know that so that you know how to behave today.
Welcome, listeners, to City on a Hill. We're so grateful that you've tuned in and so thankful for the privilege of having our guests on today. And as always, we ask that you invite your friends and family throughout the country to come join us, come and learn with us. I just really think that God is gracious and He wants us to learn. And so tell them about the website. Go to www.cityonahill.tv. And remember, immediately after each program are the podcasts that you can make available to your friends and family throughout. So we want to start this off before we start our conversation with giving it to God in prayer. So, Pastor Lear, if you don't mind, sir, I'm going to go ahead and start us off with prayer. Dear Heavenly
Yes.
Father, Lord, thank you that you are such a magnificent, gracious God. And, Lord, you loved us so much that you gave your Son, your precious Son, for our sins, Lord. And Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for the privilege of being able to live in this land of the free and home of the brave. And Lord, to be able to give everything to you in prayer. And Lord, we want to give this conversation to you in prayer. Every day is a special day. And today, Lord, it is Flag Day. And Lord, we just want to remember your goodness. And Lord, we pray that you would give us the words to say that, Lord, you may be glorified, that others will find the truth, and that you are truth, Lord. We thank you, and we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Wow. Thank you, Pastor Lear. Well, for listeners that have not heard us for a while, Pastor Lear, we were off the air for a whole week. Last week when we traveled, as you had said just a few minutes ago, there's so much to see, so many places to visit. And what we found was we didn't have enough time. So doing the show, we had envisioned being able to do the show at some point and share what we were seeing. We really had no time to even schedule it. We were so busy. But what a privilege it was to be in part of that country and, again, to walk behind the footsteps of the men that really helped form this great nation. So it's a privilege to have you on. And, of course, today is Flag Day, and I'm just so grateful because, Pastor Lear, you have a calling in your life, and really it is something very special to really the rest of us, too. So I'm going to turn it over to you, sir.
Well, we will have no other king but King Jesus. And when the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. But when a wicked man rules, the people groan. That's from Proverbs 29:2. And also from Proverbs 24:19-20, do not fret because of evildoers, nor be envious of the wicked, for there will be no prospect for the evil man. The lamp of the wicked will be put out. And this is a thrilling day for me, Miss Diana, for a variety of reasons. This is, in a sense, somewhat of a holiday week, you might say, because, of course, we have coming up, not only today do we have Flag Day, but it's also considered the birthday of the United States Army, and I'm a veteran of the United States Army, proud to say that. And also, this coming weekend, we have two very special events to me personally. Bunker Hill Day, the commemoration of the Battle of Bunker Hill, a famous battle here in the vicinity of Boston or Charlestown and along the Freedom Trail, and also Father's Day. So this is like a fabulous week for me. And, of course, thanks be to God, it's about 75 degrees and clear and a gentle breeze up here in New Hampshire. So I'm reminded of heaven right at the moment. And it is a great honor for me to be on the program with you today. It's a great honor any time we do the program together. I'm always so pleased to share things. And, yes, and what you said, I do have a calling. I've had a calling since I was 6 years of age, and I'm sure of that. And as many people would think, you know, now that I'm in my 65th year of life, well, gee, you ought to be slowing down. No, I'm not slowing down. Actually, I'm speeding up. And no, I'm not about to sit back at this point and rest on whatever laurels I might have. In fact, I have a renewed and a fresh vision for our country because I do have a calling. And if I ever felt like I was needed in America before, I feel more needed today than ever, particularly because there are so many young people in this country. And, of course, who qualifies as a young person, whether it be the Generation X or the Generation Y or whatever generations they're calling them, the millennium, the whatever. They're woefully, inadequately trained in the history of our country, and I've spent a lifetime studying it, so let's just say if I were a businessman, I'd say my product is in great demand today. So I'm thrilled to share these things with you today.
Well, we're thrilled to have you on. Oh, Pastor Lear, if you don't mind, start off with sharing with the people your website, because they really need to find it, and I would pray that they would, after they hear you today, if they've not heard you before, that they would make a point of really opening a door of opportunity that you can be heard in their part of the country.
Sure. They can go to, we actually have three websites, but I'll direct them to one of our main websites, which is www.thepatriotpastor.org. Thepatriotpastor.org. And if for some reason you forget that and didn't get that written down, thepatriotpastor.org, a Google search will turn the Patriot Pastor Garrett Lear up for you pretty easily to find us. We're all over the web and YouTubes and all kind of things like that. We're constantly doing different presentations all over the country. I'm looking forward to being in Lincoln, Nebraska. Any of our listeners that might happen to be out that way, I will be speaking at the state capitol on the 4th of July in Lincoln, Nebraska. So glad to be able to do that, to go to the Midwest and visit the folks there. Interestingly enough, what a small world it seems to be, just fits in the palm of the Lord's hand. Always remember that when you're feeling despondent about things. This world may be big and vast, and there may be many situations out there, but as the scripture that we read from Proverbs 24, verse 19 and 20, basically, don't fret yourself because of evildoers. The Lord is at hand, and yes, this world fits in the palm of his hand, but I was speaking last Saturday to a very wonderful men's group at one of the oldest churches in all of America, looking out the window of the church, this beautiful colonial church in the setting looking at Lake Winnipesaukee. And one of the men came up and said, "Did you say you're going to be speaking in Lincoln, Nebraska? Is it open to the public?" I said, "The Patriot pastor always opens up what he's doing and speaking to the public. The more the public comes, the better I like it." And he said, "Well, I've got relatives in Lincoln, Nebraska." I said, "Tell them to come on 4th of July to the state capitol."
Oh, yeah.
"And I'll be blessed to meet them there." So,
oh,
great opportunities.
Thank you, Pastor Lee. Yeah, we have a new friend, Mr. Henry Burke, and he lives in Nebraska, I believe, if I've got that right, and I will certainly be passing that along to him. July 4th, what a privilege for the Nebraskans to hear you, sir. That sounds exciting.
Well, it is, and of course, I'm going to have to do quite a lot of traveling, change planes and whatever, to get out there. And of course, some people said, "You're willing to do that?" I said, "For the cause of Jesus Christ and for the glory of the Lord in America and the freedom and liberty of this constitutional republic we call America, I'm willing to go to the moon and back and do it overnight, whatever it takes."
Well, thank you, Pastor Lear. And, you know, I hear you talk so much about your grandson. And, that to me, God is so good to hold up children and grandchildren before our eyes. It's very inspirational for me. That's what inspires me to keep on going.
Well, that's true. And we look at our grandchildren, or some people have great-grandchildren, they are our posterity. And unfortunately, in, let's just say, the modernization of many things that have happened in America, that's something that got left behind. But I can promise you that the people that fought on Bunker Hill and the people that fought in the War for American Independence, they were not, and the people that signed the Declaration, they were not just doing it for themselves. They were doing it for themselves and for their posterity. They were looking into the future. And of course, one of my greatest treasures that hangs on my wall is a picture of a man, one of the founding fathers, we're not sure, it might have been George Washington. He's got a Bible, he's got a musket, he's got a sword, he's got a flag, looking out a window and looking at the a city, profile, somewhat like looking at New York City or any other big city, looking ahead. These are times that they could see ahead. The Lord showed them and be concerned about their posterity. And speaking of my grandson, who's 6 years old, I had him with me the other night. We had an annual meeting at our Rod and Gun Club, and I'm the parliamentarian emeritus there, and so was conducting part of the meeting. And my grandson was the only child in the place. And there are men, most of them are veterans, and some pretty formidable men. My grandson, 6 years old, walked around talking to these men, didn't skip a beat, interacted with them and so forth, and he just really enjoyed it so much and told me how much he enjoyed that, to be with his grandpa. He always tells his teachers about his grandpa and tells people about my grandpa's the Patriot pastor, and my grandpa, he bought me a tricone hat, which is, of course, the three-point hat. At Lexington Green, and, he goes with me to all these things because I am on a mission. I'm on a mission to evangelize the world for Jesus Christ, but I'm also on a mission to make sure that everyone in America knows what this country really is about and the true foundation. And incidentally, that's a Christian foundation, folks. Don't let anyone tell you otherwise. We have thousands upon thousands upon thousands of documents to prove it. So even though things have been modernized, trying to get rid of all these documents, and you found out yourself, Miss Diana, when you went down there to Williamsburg, Jamestown, and around that area and so forth, you see it right there. I mean, you see the proof of who these people were and what they came to do.
Well, Miss Barbara pointed out something, too, on the statue of John Smith at the historic Jamestown that was overlooking the water. He was holding a Bible, and it was just really wonderful to be there. And also, Pastor Lear, she talked about that church that was there and how there was the charter, the Jamestown charter that was on the wall, a plaque on the wall. And she said something to the effect, well, my goodness, that must have been where Patrick Henry got a portion of his speech from, there in that charter, you know, that she was staring at on the wall of that church. So it was very, very moving for all of us. And Miss Barbara, who's like you, is a student and teacher of history. It was just overwhelming. All great things that just points to God and his hand upon our nation.
Well, that's a good point about what was in that charter and Patrick Henry drawing those things forward. For example, today, you know, and the name of this program, what's the name of this program? City on the Hill. Well, the City on the Hill speech of 1630 by John Winthrop on the deck of the Arabella, he shared things that later, in later years, many of our founding fathers quoted. There were other constitutions that quoted these things. See, many people don't realize that the War for American Independence, for example, and with people like Patrick Henry, one of our great Americans, they were not just making this stuff up. They didn't just, you know, sit there one day and say, well, I think I'm going to say this. They were familiar with the history of the country, and they were trying to be consistent. And see, today, we don't have a lot of consistency because of the modernization. That's a kind word for saying revisionist historians who come along and try to revise the true history because they want to sell people on a secular America where the Church of Jesus Christ, in other words, the Christian Church, has no influence. Well, excuse me, folks. Let me tell you, the first building that got built in most every one of the colonial places was a church. As they established a colony or a group or a town, always was that way. And interestingly enough, there in Jamestown in 1607, it was Richard Hecklett, who was the pastor, he was an Episcopalian, the Church of England, knelt down and prayed a blessing over that area, and they planted a cross right there in Jamestown. You know, and then 13 years later, when the expedition continued on, so to speak, and up into the Plymouth Colony, which was intended basically to go to Poughkeepsie, New York, and the Hudson River Valley, and they got blown off course, read the Mayflower Compact. My goodness, I mean, this is our first Constitution. We got people today saying, oh, no, they weren't Christians, and no, they weren't really, you know, on a mission and whatever. That is totally ridiculous. And I'll tell you, when people say these things, I'm sorry, I have to say it's pretty dumb and it's pretty stupid. You know, if you don't want to believe, you don't want to believe. Nobody's going to force you, excuse me, into believing what you don't want to believe. But please don't go out and spout these lies and these revisionist historian things to try to take this country away from, and that's one of the reasons why not only do I in every presentation say, we'll have no other king but King Jesus, just what was being said all the way along, but also that someone has stolen my country and I want her back, and I want her back now because I didn't give her away and I certainly didn't sell her or betray her because this country belongs to Jesus Christ. If you'll pardon the expression, he bought and paid for it and he raised up people to establish it the way he wanted it. And so I believe as we understand these right principles, as we're looking at this today and this Flag Day and the other things that are happening this week, having a right understanding of the foundation of this country in biblical truth, in reformational thinking, in the foundation of Christ will help us to see a revival, a renewal, a restoration, in a sense, a spiritual awakening. And by the way, folks, we're either going to have a spiritual awakening in Christ or we're going to have a rude awakening, and I think we're sort of getting part of the rude awakening already. And it's interesting, as we're talking about Flag Day, we have quite a history of famous American flags. Now, most people would think that the Betsy Ross flag of the Revolutionary War time in 1776, that would be considered our first flag, but it's not. Actually, when we go back, we had a pre-revolution colonial flag. We actually had, before the Betsy Ross flag, we had the Bunker Hill flag, and on the Bunker Hill flag was really our first flag, and our first flag was the Pine Tree flag, and basically, or some call it the Liberty Tree flag, of 1775, and it has a pine tree on it, and either one or another of the statements either appeal to heaven or appeal to God. Mm. Well, what does that tell you? The first flag of our country, appeal to heaven or appeal to God. And when they were talking about appealing to heaven and appealing to God, they weren't talking about appealing to Buddha, Confucius, Zoroaster, you know, Lao Tzu, or Allah. They were talking about the God of the Bible. And they were talking about appealing to Christ as our great Savior, the only way, the only truth, the only life, and also as our great intercessor at heaven. And then, of course, when we go on to other flags, when we had the Great Union or the Grand Union flag and our Navy Jack, and I'm sure many of our listeners will appreciate on the first naval flag, our Navy Jack, was used in the Revolutionary War by Commodore Hopkins on one of the ships in his fleet. His fleet was authorized to carry two companies of Marines, which marked the birth of the United States Marine Corps. The Gadsden or the South Carolina rattlesnake flag had the same slogan, with a coiled snake without the stripes. Now, it's important that people understand, on the Gadsden flag, and it was also on this Navy Jack flag, it said, "Don't tread on me." Now, if anyone's had any experience with rattlesnakes, and I have a good bit of experience with rattlesnakes, rattlesnakes do not jump out of the bushes and bite you. If you, first thing when you're in the area of a rattlesnake, you're going to hear the tail rattling. It's going to rattle. Basically what it's saying is, okay, mister, I'm over here in the bushes. I'm rattling. I don't want trouble. I don't want to fight. I'm just here. I'm going to defend my turf. I'm going to defend myself, so I'm giving you a warning. I'm over here. Don't step on me. If you step on me, I'm going to bite you. And that's why our colonial forefathers decided to pick that as an emblem on the flag. Not a treacherous serpent, really. You hear the rattle? Stay away from the snake. The snake's going to defend. And see, our whole makeup here in America, we did not attack anybody. We were attacked. We were attacked by our own government. We were attacked at Bunker Hill. We were attacked on Lexington Green. We were attacked at the Concord Bridge. We were defending, and we said, like the rattlesnake, you hear us rattling, don't step on us, because if you tread on us, we're going to bite you. That is the American bravura. I know it doesn't set well with a lot of pacifists. It doesn't set well with a lot of people who don't understand that even Christ himself will be coming as the leader of his great army of saints for that Battle of Armageddon. Our Lord is a warrior. And see, America has been great and America has been strong, not because we went around attacking people, because we have been willing to defend our native rights, just like the monument says on Lexington Green. And so when we look at these flags, and moving on, for example, to the Betsy Ross flag, which of course was the one that was credited by legend to have been made at the suggestion of George Washington, General Washington. Probably, in fact, it was recorded in Pennsylvania archives that she was paid, Betsy Ross was paid for making colors for the Pennsylvania Navy in May 1777. And, of course, Congress passed that legislation for the first Flag Act on June 14, 1777. That's why, of course, today is called Flag Day. And they said, resolved that the flag of the United States be made of 13 stripes, white in blue field, representing a new constellation. Such questions as the proportion of the flag, size of the union, design, and arrangement of the stars were left open, with the result that each flag maker filled in details according to their fancy or imagination. This condition was not actually rectified until 1912, 135 years later. But I want to go back to that. In that resolution, it was said, representing a new constellation. America was a new constellation. America was not just a new nation on the earth, but a whole new concept. a concept that mankind had never had, a concept in government of self-government by the rule of law, not the rule of men, not divine right kings, but to have the rule of law and to have a constitution. And by the way, I will be reading the entire Declaration of American Independence there at Lincoln, Nebraska. They've asked me to do that. It's 1,308 words. I read it last Saturday in front of this group of men. It takes about 8 to 10 minutes to read it, and especially if you read it with the enthusiasm. And I promise you, when I read it with the enthusiasm like I wrote it, or that if I hadn't written it, that I signed it. I read it with that enthusiasm. You cannot have a constitution. The Constitution of America does not stand alone. It is an outcropping of the Declaration of American Independence, because we wouldn't have needed a constitution, of course, prior to our constitution with the Articles of Confederation. We wouldn't have needed an Articles of Confederation. We wouldn't have needed a constitution except that we had a Declaration of Independence, that we became a new constellation. Something new in the entire world. Concepts that mankind for thousands of years had talked about and had desired at the plains of Runnymede, 1215, with the Magna Carta and English common law. Alfred the Great King Alfred the Great, back in the 13th century in England, all these things culminated with America. And I want to tell our listeners this, Miss Diana, if this country goes the way of other nations, if this country decides not to stand its ground for who we are as a people, if we allow people come from all over the world or governing bodies like the UN to destroy our sovereignty and destroy the fabric of this nation, we are going to be a sorry lot of people. A sorry lot of people. Because there's nothing better than this side of heaven. I am sure of that. And the older I get, the more I realize that. And, of course, when you mentioned about Patrick Henry saying, give me liberty or give me death, that's what he was saying. To have a country that's based on, and in the preamble to our program today, we will continue to be the land of the free as long as we continue to be the land of the brave. And unfortunately, we don't have a whole lot of bravery like we used to, a lot of good old-fashioned American guts to stand up and tell the truth and stand our ground and say, you know what, don't tread on me. If you want to fight, I'm not here to fight, but if you've decided to start a war, let it start here with me. That's American bravura.
Well, you know, I just love what you're saying, and I can't remember the exact quote, you know, Patrick Henry, is life so dear? I guess in essence, and you know, I'm sure the rest of the words, but it's like, if I remember right, it's asking, is life so dear that you're willing to really, in essence, be enslaved? And, you know, I thank God for what you just said. You know, don't tread on me, because, you know, I hear you and I hear many others like you that are rising up. And it reminds me of the beginning of this nation when it stood up. And as you said, when they signed that Declaration of Independence, they knew, you know, that that was going to cost them dearly. And I think we're at that stage again.
Oh, we absolutely are. And see, the thing that most people are surprised, you've got to study history. And not just for a few years, but study back in the history of the world to know that this is a fallen world. That's why Jesus had to come to redeem us, why Jesus had to die on the cross for us. It's a fallen world. The sins of yesteryear are still the sins of today. The enemy tries to work to destroy anything that's good, that's of God. And so we're facing some of those same circumstances that existed, we'll say, in 1775. And we have to deal with them the same way that they did. The Lord's given us a roadmap if we'll follow it. You know, of course, it's called the Holy Bible. And, of course, we have foundational documents. And I think there's a scripture in Psalm chapter 60, verse 4. And when I think of the American flag, you know, we're talking about the different flags, or even the Bennington flag, which has the stars on it in a semicircle and has a 76 in it. What happened at the Battle of Bennington, which, of course, the great General John Stark, who was also at the Battle of Bunker Hill, these are the kind of people with the fortitude, the intestinal fortitude to face death and laugh in the face of death, saying, you know what, like Patrick Henry said, there are some things that if you're not willing to die for them, then they're not worth having. And see, there's got to be some things like that. But in Psalm chapter 60, verse 4, it says, you have given a banner to those who fear you to be displayed because of the truth. I see the American flag and many people denigrate it. You better not denigrate my flag in front of me. I won't be a happy camper. You will be sorry if you do that. Now, do we call that freedom of speech because you want to destroy an American flag? Well, excuse me, I don't consider it American freedom of speech because you want to burn a flag or you want to spit on the flag or you want to desecrate the flag or whatever. I don't take kindly to that. And the Lord has given us that flag to remind us of who we are as a people, what we have been, and in fact, what our future can be. And, you know, there have been many proclamations that different presidents have made. Our 24th president, who, of course, was Grover Cleveland, he said, all must admit that the reception of the teachings of Christ results in the purest patriotism, in the most scrupulous fidelity to public trust, and in the best type of citizenship. Those who manage the affairs of government are by this means reminded that the law of God demands that they should be courageously true to the interests of the people, and the ruler of the universe will require of them a strict account of their stewardship. We're going to have to account for the stewardship of these great freedoms and liberties that we have had in this country. And see, here's a president understanding that the teachings of Christ result in the purest patriotism. Many people say to me, well, how can you be a true Christian and be an American patriot? I said, no, I ask you, how can you be a true Christian and not be an American patriot? Now, if you don't live in America, you know, you should be a French patriot, you should be a German patriot. But when you live in America and you're a Christian, and I was asked this question last Saturday by the group of men, how come a lot of churches won't display an American flag? I said, because they think that by displaying an American flag, that somehow denigrates the flag of Christ or the mission of Christ. I don't see it that way at all. Not at all. I don't say that I love America more than I love Jesus. But Jesus says to me, my servant, Patriot Pastor Garrett Lear, I want you to love your country. I want you to love your family. I want you to love your neighbor as yourself. I want you to love the church of Jesus Christ. I want you to love the mission that you're on and so forth and so on. There's nothing wrong with loving our country in the right order. And that's why even our national saying, God and country, you know, in God we trust and all those other things. And it was actually Woodrow Wilson in 1916 who made this proclamation number 1335. And he said it to my fellow countrymen. Many circumstances have recently conspired to turn our thoughts to a critical examination of the conditions of our national life, of the influences which have seemed to threaten to divide us in interest and sympathy, of forces within and forces without that seem likely to draw us away from the happy traditions of the united purpose and action of which we have been so proud. It has therefore seemed to me fitting that I should call your attention to the approach of the anniversary of the day upon which the flag of the United States was adopted by Congress as the emblem of the Union, and to suggest to you that it should this year and in the years to come be given special significance as a day of renewal and reminder, a day upon which we should direct our minds with a special desire of renewal to the thoughts of the ideals and principles of which we have sought to make our great government the embodiment. I therefore suggest and request that throughout the nation, and if possible in every community, the 14th day of June be observed as Flag Day, with special patriotic exercises, and which means shall be taken to give significant expression to our thoughtful love of America, our comprehension of the great mission of liberty and justice to which we have devoted ourselves as a people, our pride in the history and our enthusiasm for the political program of the nation, our determination to make it greater and purer with each generation, and our resolution to demonstrate on all the world its vital union in sentiment and purpose, accepting only those as true compatriots who feel as we do the compulsion of this supreme allegiance. Let us on that day rededicate ourselves to the nation, one and inseparable, from which every thought that is not worthy of our fathers' first vows in independence, liberty, and right shall be excluded, and in which we shall stand with united hearts for an America which no man can corrupt, no influence draw away from its ideals, no force divide against itself, a nation signally distinguished among all the nations of mankind for its clear individual conception alike of its duties and privileges, its obligations and its rights. In witness thereof, I have hereunto set my hand and caused the seal of the United States to be affixed, done at the city of Washington this 13th day of May, in the year of our Lord 1916, of the independence of the United States of America, the 140th. Do you notice that every president who signed these proclamations, up to the present anyway, has signed it in year of our Lord, that's Anno Domini, and also stating in the year of the independence of the United States of America. You see how precious these things are, how absolutely important that these things are. And of course, we read from Grover Cleveland, President number 24. We just read from President Woodrow Wilson, who is number 28. And here's something that a lot of people don't know about. On Flag Day 1942, Franklin D. Roosevelt, who was our 32nd president, said, "The belief in man, created free in the image of God, is the crucial difference between ourselves and the enemies we face. God of the free, grant us victory over the tyrants who would enslave all free men." And then one of my favorites, and I'm sure many of our listeners will appreciate this, when I was a schoolboy, in other words, in elementary school at Fisk Elementary School in Lexington, Massachusetts, I worked as a campaign worker for Dwight David Eisenhower, who turned out to be our 34th president. I used to walk around giving people buttons that said, "I like Ike." Well, he said, and it was called Joint Resolution Public Law 396, he added the phrase, or they added the phrase under that, "One nation under God," to the Pledge of Allegiance to the flag. "From this day forward, the millions of our school children will daily proclaim in every city and town, every village and rural school, house, the dedication of our nation of our people to the Almighty. To anyone who truly loves America, nothing could be more inspiring than this rededication of our youth on each school morning to our country's true meaning. In this way, we are reaffirming the transcendence of religious faith in America's heritage and future. In this way, we shall constantly strengthen those spiritual weapons which forever will be our country's most powerful resource in peace or in war." Listen, Miss Diana, to the wisdom that these men were espousing. I never thought that I'd live long enough in this country. That was 1954. At that time, I was but 6 years old, that we would have schools that will not allow the Pledge of Allegiance, that we will have people who will not say one nation under God, that people won't even stand. I've led in a couple of parades recently. I marched in a parade. I had to go along the parade route telling people, "Get up, your flag is coming. Get up and salute your flag." Now, that's not an idolatry as a Christian. It's giving respect and giving honor, as the Bible says, that honor is due. And the flag of the United States is certainly worth honoring. The problem that we have is many people have come to this country who have not come here to honor our values. They've not come here to honor the God of America, and the God of America is most assuredly Christ. They have come here to get money to live off of us without caring about our culture. So they're not going to stand up for our flag. You go to some places in the country, they're going to fly a flag from Mexico. Well, don't you fly a Mexican flag in front of me. No other national flag flies in this country but American flag. Go to Mexico, I would expect to see a flag flown in Mexico, a Mexican flag. But please, people, you come from another country, you take the oath of office to be an American citizen, you have forsaken your previous country. You don't fly that flag primarily anymore. You want to keep it at your house and show it as a display of where your people came from, but you become an American. We're willing to take you in. But we're not willing to take you in to destroy this country. We're not willing to take you in to put us in our graves. We're not willing to take you in to have you be thieves and take what we've worked hard for, that our forefathers have worked hard for and shed blood and tears and sweat for. That's not right. That would be stealing. And the Lord doesn't approve of it. Wow. I think I'm getting preaching here, Miss Diana.
Well, Pastor Lear, I like it. Well, it's all about God, and we are so blessed. But, you know, it's not just to our graves that they want to, you know, it's the souls of a nation of, you know, I just think about the generation that's growing up, and they're not teaching them the things that you're mentioning. And they believe that they are, you know, they came from apes and, you know, it's just really the lies is being permeated in the minds of the little children, and more than half of them don't even have parents anymore, both parents in the home, to help them. So it's a very difficult time for our young children, and it's I like what somebody said, you know, you have to pray for your government because the government can become an enemy to your family. And we see that, unfortunately, with some of the leaders there. When Christians are not involved anymore.
That is so true. And see, what is the price of freedom? Eternal vigilance. You know, I can tell you that when people say to me, well, you know, at your age and with some of the circumstances and whatever that you face, well, isn't it time to give up? Give up? No, this is the time to press forward. You know, and I think back, you know, even Vietnam era United States Army, where I think that one of their commanding generals in North Vietnam is on record of saying, you know what, we're surprised you Americans didn't win the war. You'd beaten us. All you had to do was stay in a couple of days more and continue to drop bombs on Hanoi. We were ready to surrender, you know. But see, the thing is, I mean, when it came down to it with George Washington and the Continental Army, there was no surrender. We're going to go forward and we're going to win, or we're going to die trying, you see. And that has always been sort of the battle cry, not just in America, but throughout the world, of people who loved the Lord and loved God and loved their country and so forth. They're saying there is no turning back. And so the issue is right now, we cannot turn back. We should not turn back. We do need to press forward. And as I said earlier in the program, we will either have a great awakening or we're going to have a rude awakening. And a lot of people won't be happy campers. And so I have no plans of settling down, calming down, or whatever else. I'm going to continue to stand up. And quite honestly, by the grace of God and all of our listeners, you may have one problem or another. Maybe you've got financial problems. Maybe you've got marital problems. Maybe you've got health problems. Maybe you've got neighbor problems. Whatever problem that you have, I just want to tell you this. 1 John 4:4 says, greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. You have no problem or difficulty that the Lord's not aware of. You have no problem or difficulty that the Lord is not able to help you through it. And by his grace. By his grace, the abundance of his grace.
And Pastor Lear, you know, when we traveled to Jamestown and we, you know, heard the hard stories of how they, you know, tried to build Jamestown, you know, it was like I guess you were saying earlier, you know, if they had really left, they would have missed the boat that had, you know, was coming in to give them more supplies. You know, they were planning on abandoning, you know, that settlement, and here comes a ship with their supplies and saying, we're going to stay. But I think that's kind of where a lot of people are at. And your story, you know, where you're speaking all over the country, encouraging us, is exactly what we need for such a time as this. And I love what one of our original guests that we interviewed, he was a World War II veteran, private first class, and he served in the battle of, and I'm probably not pronouncing this, it was in Germany, the Hürtgen Forest or something like that.
Yeah, the Argonne, was, the Argonne Forest.
There you go.
The Argonne,
it was really,
Argonne Forest.
He was a private first class, and he saw a lot of his men, his friends, die. And so he was telling us there at the end of the program, the interview. I've only had one interview with him, but many people have told me it's just a very moving interview. But he says, you know, that's not just a piece of cloth, because when he looks at it, he sees, you know, the bodies of his friends, those who plowed, you know, on the ground to keep this nation, the land of the free and home of the brave. So it's not just a piece of cloth.
No, and actually, you know, our flag reflects much more than a country. Our flag represents those people. I look at, for example, my ancestors, two of which froze to death in their beds the first winter in Plymouth Colony. When the Mayflower went back in the spring, my other two ancestors did not get on the boat and say, oh, it's too rough. We've already lost people freezing to death, and we've got hostiles surrounding us, and it's so difficult here, and we don't know how to manage this kind of an environment. No, they didn't give up. Not one single person got back on that boat to go home because they didn't have a home to go to. They had a new home. The old home they weren't going back to. And see, for us, that's the way that I look at it. I get people telling me, well, hey, why don't we move to Costa Rica? Why don't we go to Panama? Why don't we go? I said, you know what? You can go anywhere you want in the world. But for me, this is my homeland. And I love her. And I want to stay here, and I want to work towards, just like what Franklin Delano Roosevelt said in that speech. And though I may not agree with all of his political policies and everything else, the man really nailed it on a lot of things. And even Woodrow Wilson, same way, I don't agree with a lot of his policies, but he nailed it, that we need to remind our children constantly of what blessings that have come to them, see, because of those that came before, so that they grow up with the idea, I'm not just here to take, I'm here to give. I'm not just here to be served, I'm here to serve. And that is the best of Christian theology, that we are servants, but it's also the best of American ethic. That, you know, instead of asking, and I remember the speech and very well, I was a teenager, when John Kennedy, you know, said, ask not what your country can do for you, but ask what you can do for your country. And I think that that's a very important thing, you know, when he was saying that. And of course, he had served in the military in the Second World War, you know. So, I mean, we have some great things there. I mean, he was our, 35th president, and he was saying those things. There have been things that have been said. Maybe their lives didn't match up with all the things they said quite the way that it should be. But still, we teach the right things to our children so they can teach the right things to their children from generation to generation. And so we can live in peace, so we can live in the kind of prosperity that the Lord wants for us. And Lord knows, I mean, my goodness, I'm always telling my grandson when he says, well, Grandpa, I don't like that I go to feed him something. I said, you know what? I'll tell you what, I'm going to call up another kid and have him come over, because there are some kids would eat anything that's put before them. They're so hungry. You're just not hungry. Here in America, we've had so many blessings, we take it for granted. But we shouldn't take these blessings for granted. And just the same as when somebody puts a plate of food in front of you, even though you didn't have to pay for it, like in a restaurant, somebody paid for it. Somebody worked hard for it. Somebody had to grow it. Somebody had to raise it. You know, somebody had to get up in the middle of the night to go out and, you know, stoke the fire, so to speak. And so when we have that kind of an attitude, we have an attitude of gratitude, an attitude of thankfulness. And so that's something that's greatly missing in America today. I don't hear the thankful attitude. Now, please, I mean, some of our listeners may want to get in touch with me and say, well, I guess you don't know about this and you don't know about that that happened. You don't know about some of these other things in the history of America. Yes, I do. But I also know America is not a perfect country. I'm not a perfect person. You know, there have been mistakes that have been made, but, you know, many of the mistakes that have been made have been corrected. And you said it earlier in the program, Ms. Diana, by the fact that good people, instead of saying that there was nothing they could do, and what did Edmund Burke say? Evil triumphs when good people do nothing.
Yeah.
Well, some of you people stop complaining and get out there and do something. Take part. And what I'm finding, when we take part, when we do not evade the battlefield, so to speak, we stand our ground, many times we win.
Mm.
You know,
and
don't
Pastor
give up
Ritter,
until
you know,
we do.
I'm just really amazed, you know, at that great book that we have that was used by the founding fathers and many that started this nation to train up their children, to teach them. You know, that Holy Bible is so full of knowledge, so full of wisdom, that if a child was taught nothing else but that book, I think they would be so much more ahead than where a lot of kids are today with all the books that's put before them. There is just so much in that book, and it is, you know, it's really amazing, you know, when people talk badly about Thomas Jefferson, and, you know, he was a deist, and you look at how he really wanted to highlight the words of Jesus. They were precious to him. You know, God's word was very precious to George Washington and the other founders. And you know, the schools were really started so that the children could learn to understand what God's word was saying to them in regard to what was happening around them, the laws that were being made. So that book, oh my goodness, it satisfies, really satisfies. And I pray that the parent that's having a hard time with their children in their school would consider just letting that child read that, you know, that Bible. Because I think it does something spiritually to a person, too, when you read God's word. It's like a washing.
Well, I definitely agree with that, and I would like to add one point to it. Don't just hand them a Bible and say, go read it. What happened with our founding fathers is their fathers, and I've read a lot about John Adams, his father read the Bible to him. It was the fathers reading the Bible to their sons and to their daughters saying, this is my book that I trust in, or this is the Lord's book. The beginning of wisdom is the fear of God. The Bible is everything we need to know about life and godliness. Well, if we believe what it says about itself, then we need to show that. And one of the ways, I mean, my grandson this morning said, Grandpa, can we have breakfast and also have you read the Bible while we're having breakfast?
Wow.
And I said, sure, we can do that. That boy knows, and he's known his whole life, his grandpa reads the Bible every single day of his life. That boy, whenever he's been with me, I have read scripture to him. I'm teaching him to read, but I read it to him. So he can go and say, my grandpa believed that this is God's word. And I will pray first and ask the Holy Spirit to be our teacher. And I said, this is God's word, Cameron. This is God's word. And we're reading God's word. And I want you to know this is God's word. Do you know, and most of our listeners may not know this, but the derivation of public education in America was in Massachusetts in 1643, called the Old Deluder Satan Act. It basically, and I'm going to summarize it, said when any village gets to the size of having 50 people, They're supposed to take up money to hire a school teacher to teach children how to read and write so they can read the Bible and they won't be deceived by Satan. That's the history of our country. Now, that sounds so colloquial to us moderns in 2012, but let me tell you something. There were more people who were literate in the time of the American Revolution than now. Almost 99% of the people at that time could read, and they learned to read first and foremost from the Bible. Their fathers reading the Bible to them. If not their fathers, their grandfathers. If not their grandfathers, their grandmothers or their mothers or somebody saying, "This is God's word, thus saith the Lord." That then, and I quote Teddy Roosevelt, who said, "Without the Bible, education only produces educated criminals." And we got a lot of educated criminals in this country that don't know the difference between right and wrong. They may know analytical calculus. They may know all kind of things about fractional banking and about the rule of 76 and all these other kind of things, and they may be very astute businessmen, but many of them are flat out immoral and evil because they have not been thoroughly schooled in the Word of God. And so until we're willing to do that and to take the Bible out of school, what a problem. But you see, parents have to recognize this. It wasn't the responsibility of the schools to teach your child the Bible. It's your responsibility. Turn off the television set and sit down and read the Bible with your kids. Or there are a lot of programs out there. You can get a DVD with the Bible being narrated. Sit down with your kids. Watch that narration of the Bible on DVD and follow along in the Bible itself. And do it, it now.
You need to do it. Now we need a great revival. And that the founding fathers honored God's word and they believed in the word of God. Pastor Lear, we have about 3 minutes. I'd like to turn it to you and ask you to pray for all of us. I hope that many eyes will be opened.
Well, Father, we approach your throne of grace on this glorious day with thankful hearts. We know that basically we don't deserve your mercy, we deserve your judgment. In many ways we have turned away from you. You've fed us, you've clothed us, you've healed us, you've helped us, you've protected us, you've delivered us, and still sometimes we have gone wild on you, have left the pleasant pastures that you provided for us to go into doubtful territory. But we also thankful, Lord, that your love and your mercy endureth forever. We thank you for this country known as the United States of America. I just like to call her America. America the beautiful. Your hand is still upon us. Your hand is still there to guide us. And on this Flag Day and the celebration of the birth of the United States Army, and this week where we have Bunker Hill Day commemoration and also Father's Day, we know the first most important Father's Day is for us to recognize you as our Heavenly Father, to give honor where honor is due. And we thank you, Lord. It's, as some have said, it might be late, but it's certainly not too late. It's never too late for somebody to approach the throne of grace boldly in their time of need, and we do that. And we thank you, Lord, that today this radio broadcast, that it will be podcasted and archived and all those things, that people will hear this broadcast. It'll be what they need to hear, right when they need to hear it, and recognize that you are not only speaking to us, you're speaking to the individual. You're not just speaking to us as a group, but as an individual as well. And we thank you, Lord, for giving us another day to share your gospel, another day to praise your holy name, another day to read your holy word, the Bible, for it is everything we need to know about life and godliness. And a special blessing on Miss Diana, who has taken her time and resources and those that support this ministry to get out there. We know that it takes a lot of due diligence to accomplish any good thing. Thank you for strengthening her as well and the others who are working with her in this ministry. And always it is a great joy to be able to pray in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, and to say amen conclusively is not saying amen, meaning this is the end. Amen, meaning this is what we stand for, this is what we believe, this is what we confirm, this is what we declare. Amen and amen.
Amen. Well, oh, thank you, Pastor Lear. And I'm going to pass this on to my friend that you are going to be speaking in Lincoln, Nebraska, July 4th. And I believe they are going to be so blessed. So I am going to pass that on as soon as I get off here. So I would ask the listeners to also pass that on. You never can tell who, you know, you may pass it on that has a friend or a relative that lives in that part of the country, and they will be so wonderfully blessed. Well, thank you, Pastor Lear, and we look forward to hearing from you again next month.
Yes, I will look forward to that, and I'll have more reports from the field, and I would like to exhort our listeners, please pray for me and remember me. The Patriot Pastor needs your support to get out there. We make no arrangements. Wherever we are invited to go, we go, and we go to a lot of places we're not invited to go as well.
And Pastor Lear, again, that's Well of Living Water, or the Patriot Pastor Lear. You can find him on, just Google him, or go to this website, thewelloflivingwater.com, or the Patriot Pastor. Is it .com?
.org.
.org. Okay. Well, thank you, Pastor Lear. God bless you, sir, and listeners.
You
may
too.
God bless you, and may God shine his face upon you. Please tune in to hear more of the Patriot Pastor and others like him that God has given a calling, really, to shine his light, his goodness upon all of us. Thank you. Goodbye.